keep it alive through these lines I write. I keep it live cause I thrive. I might just blow your mind tonight. I'm so hyped, but it's no hype. From this height, it's direct hits on sight. I'm your type, lend me your ears to show you that there's something in me. I'm not giving up, I'm standing right here, holding these days hostage, and I'll make this my year. We turning fear into love, and the love's in the air. I love doing this cause nothing compares, nothing can share that same type of feeling when you feeling them flares. They can't catch it, it's havoc. I rip to a tear, switch a scenario. My stereos, I leave them impaired. Variables start to change, and they're all in my range. I just gotta grab it, it's all mathematics. Every step is drastic, I make it fantastic. I'm trying to take your breath away, asthmatic.
This is live through the stereo. Go and let it blow, blow through the stereo. I'ma let them know, no through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo, stereo. This is live through the stereo. Go and let it blow, blow through the stereo. I'ma let them know, no through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo, stereo.
Yeah, just nod your head with it. So explicit and vivid. Every image is intricate, intimate. I put my all into it. No scrimmage and no rules. I'm a pro tool. Hear my heartbeat beating to the vocals. I'm so loco, lost my mind. Oh no, it's ponderoso. Dope so, no overdose. Cause it's dope, yo. Man, this is house grown, mixed with some milestones. So I let the style flow down like the Dow Jones. Bringing it with some foul tones, letting the crowd no, we getting loud, so it's eardrum rudiments. Yeah, we bring it rude again. Move, little hooligan. Music for tuning in. Full time to the 10. I'm on my clock, like I told you. I'm doing this for dreams we pursuing.
But Dick Cheney said that it never happens.
Nah.
Welcome to the Anti-Media Radio, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to have a little bit different show tonight. This is your host, S.M. Gibson, as joined always by my co-host,
Desert Young.
We're also joined in the studio tonight by Eric P. Bitcoin Expert.
Hello.
And the man around town, the man that knows everything, Mr. Shannon Madden.
Yeah.
All right, got a lot to go over tonight. We're also going to have a special guest a little bit later on in the show, and we'll get to him in a few minutes. So, Dedrick, what you think about all the CIA torture and everything? They're still going on and on about it.
Yeah, I see. It's making headlines. It's kind of like embarrassing in a way, but I think that it's more to come out.
Well, you know, I'm kind of at the point now that why would they have released this information, right? So it's almost like, what are they distracting you from? Why release all these pages and everybody get worked up? What are we not supposed to be looking at right now?
But I'm questioning why now.
You know? Right, that's the thing.
That's what I'm, like, I have that question. Like, that's what I'm like, why now? You know, just it was like what, 08?
Yeah, you're right. It was all during the Bush administration, yeah. And you know,
03.
Right. So Dick Cheney, though.
But I'm talking about the information, like, they knew all about this was, like, in 08, right?
Everybody's known about, yeah, everybody's known. But here's the thing. Nothing came out. We discussed this the other night. Nothing came out in that report we didn't know about, but it was just like Snowden. It was, the world had their head in the sand. They didn't want to admit that it was going on. And then all of a sudden, the report comes out, and you're like, oh, this has been going on. It's like, this is what we've been screaming our heads off about for 10 years.
Yeah. And we've been talking about it, but, you know, even back with the Guantanamo Bay, like, incidents that, oh, yeah, we knew what was going on. But, oh, well, you know, now it's like, oh, well, we're going to, like, you know, sentence some people or, like, say, hey, well, we've been doing this now, and what do you guys think about it? And let the public judge it, right? Is that what they're asking? I don't know. Like, we already knew about it.
Well, what is there to judge? And what's sad is there are actually people that are justified. And what's even more ironic, it's a lot of the people that watch Fox News that are justifying it. And these are the people, you know, Fox News is the conservative Christian viewpoint, and it's ironic that the Christian, you know, who would Jesus have tortured?
Well, you know, can I interject for a second? Because one of the things, you know, I just pulled this up a moment ago, This is actually coming from New York Times, which we all have to kind of balance that out a little bit. But one of the things that kind of just popped up, and again, you know, when you hit Google and you try to search for something like that, usually something from New York Times or Huffington Post or Fox News or one of your hard right or hard left leaning news sources pops up. The first two words that instantly jump out at me, rectal feeding.
Right, absolutely. Like,
I mean, and again, and I wish everybody could have seen the look on everybody's faces when I uttered those two words. And that's what the CIA, that right there is the heart of what's going on. We all knew that it was going on, but to this extent.
It doesn't shock me.
I mean, you know.
And, but here's the scary part is they say, but we know, like we admit it didn't produce valid information. We know that it didn't lead us to Bin Laden. And you're hearing, you know, you're hearing one side say, well, it definitely took us to Bin Laden. And that's what they were saying, you know, before this report came out. Oh, well, we would have never gotten Bin Laden. Well, you know what? You shot a guy and put him on a boat and dropped him off a boat, like, you know, an hour later or something. So, you know.
And, but, you know, and when we talk about all these other semantics, rectal feeding, come on, man.
Right.
I mean, we're in a civilized society.
No, it's freedom.
Are you gonna gain? I mean, look.
But freedom.
You shove something up my butt, trust me, I'm going to tell you whatever you want to know, regardless of whether it's true or not. Come on now.
Rectal feeding, that's the same as oral defecation, right?
Yeah, well,
look, it's
now,
all,
I think it's the other way around.
it's all enhanced interrogation. It's to keep you safe. It's to keep middle America safe.
Yeah, I feel better.
Yeah, you should. You should, because you know what? If they wouldn't have put a tube up some man's bomb hole,
let gravity,
then you know what?
Work.
You would all be speaking Russian right now.
I'd love to know what they fed him. I mean, you know,
it was in the report, actually. It was actually in the report what they fed him.
Peas and carrots.
Yeah, it was. I can't remember right now. Sorry.
I'm looking this one up, fellas. Oh, we're taking this as a cloud.
Well, also, in other really, really big news, this week, Congress authorized spying on all Americans without due process.
Awesome.
Yeah, they voted on that. Like, they voted on that, and that's fine. Like,
I feel better.
And, you know, I am not a huge fan of the politicians. One politician in particular from Michigan, Justin Amash, God bless this guy. He actually went up there and started screaming his head off and like, what are you people doing? Like, you know, you're basically just handing over the Constitution and saying, nah, it's not important anymore. But you know what? It's all done for the exact same way they excuse the rectal feeding and they excuse the waterboarding and they excuse killing a guy from hypothermia freedom because they care about you. Meanwhile, we've got 28 pages sitting out there that a congressman from Kentucky read Thomas Massie. And he says, okay, I had to basically change my entire viewpoint of history after reading these 28 pages. Because they implement something, they won't release it. We don't know exactly what it says because we're not allowed to see it. But whatever it says, it implicates something or somebody about 9/11. And the reason that's important is because the CIA torture or them spying on our phones and basically doing whatever they want. It all goes back to 9/11. They'll be really quick to show you somebody jumping out of the 110th floor of a building. But there's 28 pages that they don't want us to see. I mean, any ideas what it could be? I personally think it implicates Saudi Arabia in some way, the exact same country that's beheaded over 70 people this year. That's no big deal, though. When ISIS does it, we've got to, you know, bomb everybody, kill everybody, and invade Syria. But when Saudi Arabia does it...
Let's not forget Pakistan, too.
Right.
So basically, hey, don't get caught.
Well, Saudi Arabia gets caught red-handed, but, you know, they're holding all the cards.
You're right. I got to agree with you, SM, when you're right.
But, you know, you have a difficult time ever disagreeing with me if you're going to disagree when I'm wrong.
Wrong time.
None of that. But, you know, what are y'all's opinions? What do you think is bringing all this together right now? Do you think this is a distraction from something? Do you think that, you know, they're trying to keep us from seeing something else that's going on.
Well, and I think you touched upon a good point there, because, you know, why would you want to go ahead and bring up all of this salacious information that we had a good idea, we knew what was going on?
So, certain people did know exactly what was going on. And then again with Snowden, I have to go back to that. It's not everybody did know, because there were people screaming at the top of the lungs, they're recording your phone calls, conspiracy theorists.
No. Well, I think that, like, even with the Snowden thing, right? We all knew that. Yeah, he just proved it. He laid it out. Yes.
That's what this is. That's all this is proving it.
Yeah, we already knew that, because, you know, I forget what's his name that popped out from AT&T that said, you know, hey, I work with AT&T. There's this big ass room in San Francisco that all your information is being split off and directed to this one room.
Right. Well, they've got the center in Utah right now where every bit of information anything's going through.
That's
right
the
now.
NSA center. They need their own power plant for that stuff. But I'm just talking about, you know, there was a room and a telephone closet, basically, you know, that they started with.
So, okay, you made the point, you know, we're talking about, well, there was a whistleblower, okay, for that instance. What about John Caracco, who was the whistleblower on the CIA information? Okay, we've been torturing people, we've killed people, we've done all these horrible things. The only person that has been put in jail is the guy that blew the whistle on it happening. How do people even excuse this?
That's par for the course, apparently.
But you always hear these arguments. Well, where else would you rather be? It's like, you know what? Two wrongs don't make a right.
What would happen if sanctions were put on the U.S.?
From who?
I'm just saying, you know, like, that's what I'm saying. Like, so it's basically so with this release, I think it's coming out. So what are you going to do about it?
Right. Well, I think all you can do is, you know, keep doing what we're doing. We're trying to get the message out there. We're trying to let people see what's going on. I think what Justin Amash has done this week, just, you know, trying to tell people this is happening. You know, this isn't Alex Jones hour conspiracy theory time. This is really happening. Right.
It's time for people to wake up, and also, like, you know, and now this information is really, like, available now. You know, in the past,
but they can still deny it. Because look at Dick Cheney this week. He came out, I think his first comment was, this is all hooey. And the second one, he goes, well, this is all bullcrap or something. I think whatever his comment was. But he's denying the whole thing. All right, we have a call coming in right now from area code 443. You're on the Anti-Media Radio. How are you doing this evening?
Hey, how's it going? This is John Vibes.
John Vibes, how you doing? This is our special guest for the evening, the author of Alchemy of the Timeless Renaissance, a brilliant man. He also is a contributor for the antimedia.org and also worked for the Free Thought Project. How you doing this evening, John?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
Doing good.
Awesome. Good to hear.
So tell us a little bit about the book real quick. I hate to steer off topic, but I know your book ties into kind of what we've been talking about a little bit. And tell us your thoughts on everything.
Well, forgive me. What conversation am I jumping into?
Talking about the CIA and the entire situation with the torture and basically how we're being lied to on a mass scale about everything. And it's just a blame game.
Absolutely. Well, that's basically kind of the motivation behind me writing the book now, almost, I guess, 6 years ago, maybe 7 years ago that I started. It took a total of 4 years to complete. And really, it was just, you know, I'm sure a lot of people could relate as you kind of start learning and figuring out that we've been lied to, like you're saying, about everything. You start to get into these arguments where, you know, people will throw out, you know, the usual lines that they've been taught to rehearse, the old, oh, well, if I've got nothing to fear, if I've got nothing to hide, you can search me all you want, or the what about the roads and all that. So over the years, I just started writing all these down, and my answers for it, and putting in research along with it. And that kind of ended up accumulating into the book, which definitely has a good bit about, you know, NSA surveillance, as well as, you know, hidden torture programs and just everything that is going on with the CIA and how they are basically like America's Gestapo. It was some president, I believe even the one who created it might have said that it was America's Gestapo, like 20 years later. I don't have the quote offhand, but people could look that up.
Now, you are also currently working on a new book, I believe, with Derek Brose. Is that correct?
Yes. We have been talking about it for a really long time and kind of brainstorming what we wanted to do with it for a really long time, but we really didn't sit down and put a whole lot of work into it until I visited Houston recently along with you guys. And you were kind of there for a lot of the process as me and Derek were putting our thoughts together and starting to, you know, unload all of our, you know, past conversations kind of just into one, you know, that work. But so basically the title is The Conscious Resistance, Reflections on Anarchy and Spirituality. And we think we're going to be giving away the book for free, first off. Because
that's fantastic. And it's, you know, that's a great message to get out there for free, too.
Exactly. And that's the thing. It's like we believe that it is really important. And this isn't necessarily our way of forcing any kind of specific spiritual viewpoint on the people. That's actually one of the ideas that we're trying to get across in the book, is that, hey, you know, everybody's kind of entitled to have their own perception or perspective of what goes on in the afterlife. Let's just kind of get along and share our ideas as friends, you know what I mean? There's no idea for all this hostility that's been brought into the conversation of what lies beyond the five senses. So we're going to give a history of how not only, you know, does everybody have you know, the right to pursue their own spiritual path, but we also believe that many of the modern religions that are popular today have been corrupted by, you know, political organizations. And me and Derek believe that at the root of a lot of these teachings, you know, whatever cultures they come from, we believe that they're rooted in a very anti-authoritarian message. Pretty much across the board. It's just that they have been corrupted over the years, you know, to portray whatever kind of message that the ruling order of the time wanted to put forward, and would just understand that spirituality is a strong thing to tap into.
Right.
But we kind of just want to, we want to bring that into the discussion of freedom, because especially in our generation, there's a very, you know, people's perspective on spirituality, I think, is very misguided. And, you know, they're looking at it from a perspective of what these mainstream organized religions have done. And they're looking at it from an extremely scientific point of view, to the point where they're looking at science as some sort of religion. And for people who are interested in that, there's a scientist that goes by the name of Rupert Sheldrake, who, you know, he gives an excellent breakdown of how the scientific establishment has actually corrupted the scientific method by subscribing their own kind of assumptions about what lies beyond the five senses onto studies and experiments that deal with five sense phenomena.
Right.
So, We will be giving that book away for free at the Free Your Mind Conference, hopefully in April. That's our target date, is to release the book for free at the Free Your Mind Conference in April.
I know I'll be seeing you in April. I think that's going to be right around the time of my birthday, actually. I think I'll be up there with you. Tell everybody a little bit more about the Free Your Mind Conference.
Well, actually, it is a conference that was started I believe, let's see, back in 2011 now. And it was started by a researcher by the name of Mark Passio. For those who aren't familiar, I highly suggest his work. He's really, if you want to get started on some of his stuff that's kind of fun and easy to digest, he did a pretty extensive lecture on the Matrix series. All three movies, he broke down, you know, the kind of occult hidden meanings in it, you know, down to the symbolism and everything like that. He started it and, you know, did a very awesome job and has in the past year or so handed the project off to, some of the other organizers, including myself, so he could focus more on his studies now that the event is up and running. So like, you know how a lot of events that are conferences like this, they kind of stick to their niche. You know, it's a UFO conference, or it's a libertarian conference, or it's a New Age conference, or it's a psychedelic conference, and everybody kind of stays in their niche. And one of the things that I noticed about the Fairmont conference over the years is it really strays from that mold and just brings all.
We were talking about when we were in Houston, as far as, you know, it can be for literally everybody. You know, you can have children there, and you can have people smoking weed there, and you can have people holding guns there, and it's all about community and being together and not about all these stigmas.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. That's the kind of atmosphere that we're definitely trying to create. As far as in Houston, it was a little bit more of a party atmosphere, and there are going to be events in the future where we are looking to do more of a party atmosphere, and this one is going to be a little bit more upscale. It's going to be at the Sheraton Hotel, so
I don't think I'm classy enough to be there for all that.
What was that?
I said I don't think I'm classy enough to be there for all that.
Well, they're actually very welcoming to this kind of material, and they're excited to have us, so that's pretty cool. You know, I'm sure there will definitely be an awesome social atmosphere. I remember last year there was an awesome social atmosphere, and we did it in a Quaker meeting house.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, and I mean, we would have done it again there this year, but they won't allow us to have Sunday.
So tell everybody the dates and the website where they can get more information.
Okay, so the website is freeyourmindconference.com, and let me just make sure I'm giving out the exact.
I'm correct. The 10th, the 9th, the 10th, somewhere around there.
Yeah, 10th, 11th, and 12th. I wanted to make sure I had the exact ones right.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
So, and you know, we're asking.
You're the one putting it on.
What was that?
I said, you're the one putting it on. You know way more than I do.
Oh, yeah. Now you nailed it down. I didn't want to say the wrong date, though. But, yeah, we're asking if people want to help out. You know, the best way to is get tickets in advance because, you know, the Sheraton Hotel is definitely not a cheap venue. But we really want this information to be taken seriously. You know, and we wanted to provide a kind of high production, upscale event offering, you know, an eclectic, diverse selection of speakers from all freedom oriented topics.
Right. Exactly. Now,
and one of the,
yeah,
oh,
ahead.
Sorry.
Continue.
I was just going to say, for your listeners, there will be an alternative media panel on one night that will feature members of the anti-media as well as the Free Thought Project, We Are Change, and a podcast called Higher Side Chats.
Yeah, I knew that there's going to be a big, wide representation of all sorts of alt media there. Anybody that's interested in, you know, not only anti-media, but We are Change Free Thought Project. You know, this is going to be a great event. You can actually meet the people that are writing the stories and are trying to get the message out to the people if that's something you're interested in doing. Also, John, while I've got you on the phone, I'm going to tap into your expertise since you write for the Free Thought Project. And tell us just kind of quick rundown of your thoughts with everything that's going on with Ferguson, Eric Garner, the Akai Gurley, all the entire situation, Tamir Rice, and really everything else, because me and you both know that the situation is way bigger than those names. Those are just the names in the media right now. And what do you see happen with the people on the street, and where do you see it going from here?
Well, those names have been popping up every day for years, you know.
Right.
And you and I know that. We've been seeing it. Now what's interesting is that these stories are actually gaining traction in the national mainstream media, which I think is very good news. You know, there is bad news out there in the sense that, you know, whenever there is any kind of social event at play that is going to affect people's opinions about things, you know, the powers that shouldn't be are going to be trying to play games and influence things. So there is a lot of that going on. You know, agent provocateurs in Ferguson and other cities, you know, and issues like that. So that's definitely a problem. But I have said for a long time, and I remember saying this at Occupy when it went down, that, you know, for there to be a serious, you know, for there to be a real change on the front of police brutality and stuff, you know, the hood needs to get up and start speaking out about it, you know what I mean?
Right.
And that's happened. And I think that that's a very positive thing. Now, people are reacting in different ways, and that's kind of to be expected. And of course, you know, when there are instances of, you know, things getting broken, people getting hurt, that obviously is not something that I or any rational person would approve of. You know, but at the same time, it's showing that this issue is entering the social consciousness. I mean, I remember, you know, just 2 years ago and even longer, you know, to even have a conversation out in public that brings question to the police would be kind of a risky thing to do socially. Now it's actually, like, surprisingly beating out, you know, the pop culture stuff for the water cooler conversation. So
it has become, you know, it's part of the mainstream narrative now. It's, you know, part of the pop culture lexicon, basically, is police brutality. You know, and it seems like a lot of these big names have become martyrs for a bigger situation that's shining a light on all the other things that people have been screaming about for years, and, you know, they've just neglected to acknowledge it.
That's exactly right. And, I mean, it was the same thing with Rodney King, because, you know, I mean, even when Rodney King got out there and was like, you know, can't we all just get along? People were like, no, because of what happened to me 3 years ago. This is what this is really about. Like, we're fed up, and now we got proof. Now we got a story that people are paying attention to. Like, this is our struggle. Look at it. You know what I'm saying?
But, John, thank you so much for calling in this evening. Ladies and gentlemen, John Vibes, his book is Alchemy of the Timeless Renaissance. Check his book out. He's got a new book coming out very soon. They're giving it away for free. And the Free Your Mind Conference, right, coming up in April.
Absolutely. Thanks a lot for the opportunity, and I look forward to talking to you again. Everybody have a great night.
You too,
thanks,
John.
All right, take it easy, guys.
So, what does everybody kind of take away from his side of things? He's kind of living on a different side of the country, and you know, he sings things from a different point of view. How do y'all take all that in?
Well,
one aspect that I caught from John is when he talked about what's behind the five senses.
Yes.
Right? And I had a great experience a couple of months ago where I did the sensory deprivation tank in Oakland.
Really?
And I went floating, guys. And I got to say, it's a great experience, you know, to just be as close to the womb as possible and losing all of your senses, you know, and it's darkening this, and it's like, it's really something that you can't imagine or you really can't explain.
Now, do you feel like you're outside of those five senses doing it?
Well, it's like you know that you exist as it.
Right.
And it's nothing. But it's like so refreshing afterwards. So like it's just because there's so many other vibrations and other things that's going on and like in this, you know, day to day, you know, world of just, you know, but it's calming and it's like the best wellness ever and the best experience. So when they talk about what's behind those five senses, losing them, like, and going floating is like one of those avenues I suggest that people should take, you know, when they're wondering or asking those questions. Because, you know, that was my first time. I did it like for 75 minutes and it's like intense, you know.
Does it seem a lot longer than
nothing it, like, you know, it's like you have no sense of, you don't have a sense of any type of awareness, you know, you don't know any sense like of direction, you know, it's like darkness.
Now, nothing. What led you to go down this route?
You know, basically listening to podcasts like Joe Rogan and just like want to like experience it and
right. Just hearing about it.
Yeah,
and
I think that it's something that people need to talk about because it's like one of the best things I ever experienced, I ever like had in my life.
Right.
And it's like it's addictive, but it's like hitting the reset button. You know, and then once you step out of the tank, it's like you like just shocked by everything. Any movement's just it's just like I can't explain it. You know, but it's like calming, like relaxing, like it's wonderful, guys. Just try it. You know, whenever we think about like you know your senses and losing your sense of touch, or, you know. It's wonderful. So just, that's how I feel about it. You know, when people want to, like, when you talk about your, like, what's after that.
I mean, that sounds interesting to me. It sounds like something I should probably do because I get pretty wound up and want to start throwing things against the wall.
Yeah.
And, you know.
I suggest that.
But
going on what John was saying, that I think what Dietrich is saying is that, you know, he probably reached a certain sense of spirituality. And you know, and I mean, really, that's what you're talking about. You're talking about actually becoming, you know, really zeroing in on who you are and what you are. There's nothing else. You're there in this womb-like experience.
It's just you.
Yeah. And I mean, it forces you to really, you know, kind of put aside certain,
everything.
You know, pride and ego and certain things like that. That cause a lot of the, and what we're seeing right here in you know, the Eric Garner cases and a lot of these police brutality cases and this, that, and the other, are people that are, we're talking about machines, animals that were manufactured by the United States government to go out and mow down anybody in their way, because anybody in their way obviously has to be against the American interest. We see this in the military. We see this in the police constantly. And if anybody gets in their way, then you understand what I'm saying.
Right. Yeah. I think, too, and maybe I can't speak as much about this for the police officer, but I have noticed a trend of people coming back from overseas in the military, and they have not bought into whatever was being fed to them. And I think, you know, because of what we've seen in the media lately, and not only in the media, but you see it on YouTube every day, you see it on Anti-Media, you see it on Freethought Project, you see it on Cop Block.
Absolutely.
You see all these really bad things happening with cops that just don't care. But I've noticed, you know, Ron Paul was the one person in the last presidential election saying, I want to bring all the troops home. And he was the one, he got more money from troops than anybody. You know, exactly. He got more money than Obama got.
Exactly.
From the troops. So that should tell you something that, you know, I do think that there is a segment of military coming back. And I think we spoke about this the other day, talking about the troops are being asked, will you shoot on your own people?
Yeah. And some, the ones that do, go to another group.
Right. And, you know, they're obviously all not doing that. There's a lot of people coming back.
What happens with that group? Where does that group go? What tasks are they elected to perform?
You know, that's a good question, but put it this way. Who in their consciousness is firing tear gas into protesters in Ferguson, which happened on national TV.
In Don Lemon, news cameras.
Don Lemon got tear gas.
Throwing them straight at the news.
That's a war crime.
Yeah. So Ferguson, let's talk about Berkeley.
Oh, okay. Yes, sir.
Oh, man, we didn't even touch on Berkeley tonight, have we?
No, we haven't touched on Berkeley. Berkeley,
the undercover officer, we need to talk about that right now because that is some big news right there.
Yeah, that guy is...
We suspected it in Ferguson, and there's been anecdotes of either police and military police.
Well, my paranoid mind is what I'll call it. My paranoid mind was predicting at Ferguson that was going to be happening.
That's exactly right. It happened in Birmingham. You can read anecdotes.
Right.
The book Parting the Waters. There are plenty of anecdotes. Of you have the people
right, and that doesn't,
not
you know,
part of the protest.
That doesn't
crowd,
make me a prophet. It just makes me suspicious
along with the
of
protesters throwing rocks and causing trouble, so that a negative light is cast on the protest.
So because of the situation that has happened in Berkeley, and I know Dedrick has kept up with it extremely much.
Yes.
He's watched it.
Yeah, I watched a lot of it, and the cops, they were like highly aggressive, like on peaceful protesters, and I seen them like just take down a female. Also, like, shoot some guy directly in the back as he was, like, running away. Then they also, like, blocked him in the middle of the street and told him, hey, no, you can't go this way. You go that way.
Kelly.
Well, you know, it's like, where do we go? We are people. I'm talking like...
Canada.
And then you had, like, the cops, like, literally saying and pointing their fingers saying, hey, I'm going to get you. Mm-hmm. Hitting them in the chest with different times.
Yeah.
I'm talking like, I've never seen anything like that in America. Yeah.
You know? Don't they call it kettling or something like that? Have y'all heard that terminology? Kettling?
Nah. But probably so. They have so many different, you know, terms they use.
I'll Google that.
Basically, kettling is where, you know, if you're protesting, you run into a wall of officers on one side, and they tell you to go another way, and that other way is a wall of other officers. You're basically, you know, like cattle, you know.
Well, and that's exactly what's happening right now, is that we've already experienced this one wall of police officers, and now the other wall is slowly moving in.
But they tell you to go away, but then, like, where the direction they send you is some other officers telling you to go to the opposite way.
Well, I think, to me, the most terrifying part of all this is, you know, this has been happening. You know, the rest of America hasn't paid attention, but there's nothing that's happened in the past 3 months, 4 months, that hasn't been happening every month for the past 10 years. What scares me, and what really kind of sends chills down my spine, is how brazen they are about it now. Like, they will literally shoot tear gas at a CNN reporter on worldwide television and go, that was smoke.
Yeah.
No, like,
smoke.
Right. They don't care at this point. Like, you know, so the Michael Brown thing. You know what? We killed this guy, and here's our story about it. Deal with it. But then you got Eric Garner. Well, that's on camera, and you all saw it. That wasn't a chokehold. That wasn't a chokehold. It's like the world saw that was a chokehold.
So what I've been going back to since we've been on this topic, and I'm asking you guys, what I want to hear is, what's next? What happens next? What's next?
And that right there, I mean, what really, I guess the better question to ask is...
Or how to brace for what's next.
Right.
Like, do we take cover?
What's, I mean, what's next is your neck.
Yeah. You know, I disagree. I don't think it's time to take cover. I think it's time to do the opposite of that. I think it's time to do the opposite of take cover. I think people taking to the streets, you know, be the change that you want to see in the world.
Yeah.
That's what it's time
for. And it ain't easy. We can't continue to do it from our living rooms with the remote control in hand.
Absolutely.
Gee, that's a shame, and let's watch some Discovery Channel for a little
right.
while.
Right. You know, those days have passed. Everybody needs to have to accept. And this isn't to damn America. I'm not going to be Jeremiah Wright here. But it is to acknowledge that this is not the America you read about in your history books.
No, it's not.
And something is terribly wrong. And something has to change. And the only people that are capable of changing anything
is us.
It's literally the person that's listening to this. Like, everybody thinks that, well, the next guy's going to do it. No, it's on you. It's on me. It's on us as a people to change the situation. It's time we stand up. That doesn't mean that, you know, we need to go get machine guns and stand in the streets. Not at all. What it's time to do is to speak up. Last August, they were trying to drag us into war with Syria. The people spoke up. John Kerry, Mr. I threw my medals, oh, whatever, I'm Mr. Peace, 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 you know, Vietnam, whatever. And this guy, as Secretary of State, all of a sudden, he's all about going to war with Syria because, and here's the thing that's completely insane, is John Kerry sitting there telling you, if we don't go to war with Syria, immediately we're all going to be dead. These terrorists, oh, it's just going to be overrun. And you know what? The people stood them down. They called their senators. They called their congressmen. They made a stand. They posted it on social media. You know, people don't realize how powerful social media can be if you do it in groups. If you call in groups, if you do things together, you can make a change. Forget voting. I'm not saying don't vote, but I'm saying if you want to change something tomorrow, you come together on social media, pick up your phone and call your congressman, and you can make a change. We did not go into war with Syria last August, even though, you know, the world was going to come to an end. And guess what? The world didn't come to an end. There was no terrorist attack. None of this crazy stuff that they said was going to happen happened because it's all rhetoric to pull us into war. Where are the WMDs? We're still looking for them, right?
Yeah, who are you looking for them?
Ernest Angley has predicted the end of the world for probably about 30 times over the past 30 years, and we're still here.
Right. But people have this sense, and maybe I'm the only one that kind of has this perspective, and maybe y'all can correct me on this, that the majority of the world sees the government, and they think, well, they know better than me. But here's the deal. The government's not a deity. The government is not a prophet. They're human beings just like us. Not only are they human beings just like us, they're human beings with a lot of power on the tips of their fingers. And unless you really know who you're electing, they're going to abuse that power. They're going to abuse that power.
So, in other words, you're saying that basically these people sit in the plantation and we're out here picking the cotton. Fearing the whip and the shotgun.
That's
what it's been boiled down to, and that's not where America started.
Well, ironically, it kind of was. But
for some,
it was.
I mean, you know.
But you know what? We're so past any of that. We're so past any of that. You know, this is the haves and the have-nots. And this is, and I hate to preach, you know, the Occupy movement here, but this is the 1% against the 99%.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. It's showing itself. Exactly
right. But it's not even financial, it's intellectual. The war is intellectual. Is that they want the 1% that controls the money wants to dictate the information to the other 99%. Mm-hmm. And some of the 99% are getting a paycheck from that 1% in one way, shape, or form or another, and they don't want to rock the boat.
Oh, no.
But you know what? If you really want to take a stand for something in your life, sometimes you have to rock the boat. Because otherwise, you're letting somebody else steer the ship. And if you think that's what America is, it's just letting somebody else steer the ship and taking it to any avenue that they're taking it, and you're like, well, I've got it pretty good here in the back. I'm just going to ride this out. You know what? You're only fooling and kidding yourselves.
Yeah. You have to, like, yeah. And that's one reason we here, guys, to, like, try to bring you guys the best, you know, accurate news and updates on, like, all this that's going on here. And we have to, like, and like us coming along and working in groups and, you know, bringing our friends in and sharing information, like, is awesome. And we have to do that in order to beat this, you know, big mass of control and power and this power struggle or even the hunger, you know. So, you know, I feel that we just got to keep, you know, pacing on, and we're on the right path this time, I think. And I don't think that it's going to stop. And it's just the beginning of things also. So, you know.
You know, I still don't understand why one person has to be in power over another person. That's not what government, that's not what the American government or our forefathers' original intent. In fact, they put a lot of safeguards in place to prevent something like this from happening. And quietly and slowly, through every Patriot Act and quiet backroom deal we've ever made for whatever foreign interest, and okay, we'll stir up trouble over here so we can protect what we've got going on in the back door over here kind of thing. And it's going on with a lot of different commodities, probably none more so than foreign oil, foreign Middle Eastern oil. And for which, if you look at it, what do we need oil for, at least in the automotive industry, which is a vast majority of what we use oil for to begin with? I mean, you know, and just little things like that. We've given other people that do not have, and I'm not going to say American interest, I'm going to say basically just a human interest, a interest of love and compassion and trying to help each other out and prop each other up. I hate to kind of sound all hippie about it, but I mean, really, that is at the core of what we're talking about. We're talking about trying to love one another, and all we're talking about here,
share the love.
It's just sharing the love.
Yeah.
But the problem is that, you know, if we all love one another and we're all equal, certain people can't be in charge. So that's why the ruling faction, that 1% we were just talking about, is doing everything they can to maintain that power.
Here's the scary thing about what you just said. What you just said was Christianity. Yeah. Now, whatever you believe, whatever your religious belief, whether you're an atheist, that's fine. I do believe that the core principles of Christianity, which is to love, that's it. That's what Jesus taught people.
That's it.
It is something that can resonate with all human beings. The complete irony of that is it's the church and the Christians that are justifying the violence. That's the insanity. They're the ones, it's the quote-unquote Christians, the, you know, not individuals, because, you know, everybody has their personal beliefs, but as a whole, you see them justifying the police violence. Well, you should have broke the law. It's like, you know what, there was somebody in Nazi Germany talking to a Jew going, well, you shouldn't have broke the law.
Yeah.
The law makes the criminal. The person's not a criminal. They're not just born a criminal. There has to be a law in place to make them a criminal.
Well, and again, like Nazi Germany, unfortunately, the problem here, instead of being born a Jew, it's because we were born poor. We weren't born with a silver spoon in our mouths with the bank account.
Absolutely.
And look, I'm not talking about people that are born in you know, affluent neighborhoods or upper middle class neighborhoods. We're talking about
the poor, right?
The ones that will
and the unfortunate part is the majority of America that is, you know, and I think that's why, you know, the whole Black Lives Matter, that whole hashtag is started. Because I do think predominantly in this country, the poor people have a different color skin tone than me or you.
Damn skin.
But you know what? They're being attacked because they're poor. They don't care about them, period.
I think that, you know, in America, it's more than just, you know, blacks that's poor. You know, it's like a... It's whites that's poor, that's going through the same struggle as blacks.
You're right. And those white Chinese people...
It's Asians that's going through the same struggle as blacks.
And there's been Hispanics. So much propaganda.
Yeah, well, the Hispanics have their own issues right now.
Yeah, they do.
Well, I mean, you know, and again, though, if we march over into Canada without our passports and without any kind of driver's license, what's going to happen? They're going to march us right on back.
I do not have a passport. I've had one in my life. I've been over the border.
Do you have your star ID yet?
I have not gotten my national branding card, and I haven't been implanted with that chip yet.
You haven't received the mark yet?
No, I haven't got 666 across my forehead yet.
If you don't have that, you're not Christian or American.
Exactly.
Definitely.
That's what they want you to think. You're not. You know, you're not. Because I read a piece today, and a friend of mine, and we're going to try to have him on the show sometime soon. He's a pastor. And he sent me an article today about the CIA torture from another pastor. And the pastor was saying that basically Christians should just go ahead and throw their hands up because you've all been lied to.
Yeah.
And you can't, you know, pledge allegiance to two things. You have to decide. And I think at least with the non-Fox viewer, I get where they're coming from more. You know, it confuses me, but the Fox viewer, it's really something I don't understand because they're going against everything they say they believe in by saying, I'm very conservative, I want small government. Let's go ahead and torture some brown people. You know what? Because
and
I
get
saw
your star ID. And get your
right.
Star
ID. Oh yeah, you better. You have to. You got to get a star on your ID.
Government.
It's a national ID card. It is.
Look, I don't like government, but if you don't have your star ID, then you ain't Christian.
Right. That's like it. That's it. That's the message. And that's the most ironic of all of it. I want small government. I love small government. I voted for Rick Santorum. It's just like, give me a break.
But get your brand new ID.
Yes, we need you to get your national ID card. We need you to see these brown people coming from across the border. We need you to be scared of them. Okay, we know.
They're not Christian. They're not human.
They're not humans. They're just terrible people that are coming to steal your jobs. You know, that's it. That's the world we live in. That these people are scared of this stuff. They believe that. They believe that's happening.
Hey,
they're all human beings.
Diedrich can't talk because he just found out about the star ID.
Hey, welcome to America. Get a national ID card.
Hey, Diedrich, go ahead and explain to the listeners that are listening about the star ID card. You've got it pulled up. Read it, hopefully. I said the same thing when I went to the DMV about 6 months ago to renew mine. I was like, are you kidding me?
Oh, God.
Diedrich spelled
it's
out.
Good.
Yeah,
it's good.
Tell him what's
good.
Going on.
Do
tell
you feel better?
No, I can't. I'm like.
Listen. No.
Read
put the star. No. I need you to put that star on your ID.
Yeah.
And I need you to go to an airport. And I need you to have a 300-pound overweight man feel your nipples. Because that's freedom. That's what this country has become.
That's after he's already looked at an x-ray of your junk. Yeah.
Yeah, they've already looked at your insides with the machine. That is what freedom has become.
Sir, can we
and if you don't
car,
believe in freedom, yeah. then you know what? If we thought what you did, we'd all be speaking Russian right now. We'd all be speaking Japanese
and
right
take
now.
Take your shoes off, too, please. Yeah.
Yeah, and your belt.
So, and the thing is, and it's kind of weird, guys, that they say, and it was a big thing about the Muslims being able to wash their feet in the Birmingham airport. They have, like, a facility for them.
Right.
You know, so they was like, well, we're not just, you know, we're not against Islam. We're not against, like, Muslims. No, you can wash your feet here.
Yeah.
You know?
So, and by feet, they meant waterboarding.
Yeah.
That's what they were washing.
No,
they were washing their hands with a rag over their head. So,
that's a fact.
No, I know. I know exactly what you're talking
okay.
about. And you know what else is a fact? We waterboard people.
Yeah.
That's a fact. You know what else we did? We put rectal tubing up.
Yeah, and we water butt people.
Actually, Dick Cheney referred to it as rectal rehydration.
No, it's
is that actually, is that really the term he used?
It's
rectal rehydration. By the way, and I don't think I brought this up, Dick Cheney is on record saying the CIA torture report, even though he hasn't read any of it whatsoever.
He was there. He knows.
The 6,000-page classified document or the 500-page declassified and redacted executive summary. He didn't read any of it, but he is reassuring you, he's on record to let you know from Fox News, of course, that the CIA report is full of crap.
He did literally say
full of crap. They are water butting people now.
CIA torture report is full of crap, quote unquote.
It is. And you know why it's full of crap? Because Dick Cheney wasn't allowed to stick a rectal tube up there and clear the crap out like he did all the terrorists in Guantanamo.
Is that what you kids are calling it now, a rectal tube? Yeah.
No, it's water buddy.
But they killed somebody. A man was killed.
Mm-hmm.
He froze to death, basically. Yeah. Okay? Meanwhile, the one person in jail is the guy. We have a Nobel Peace Prize winning president that has a Nobel Peace Prize nominee stuck over in Moscow right now.
For what?
Another Nobel Peace Prize nominee that's in jail with Chelsea Manning.
Whoa. I think we know the deeper conspiracy.
Listen,
I think
we have a Nobel Peace Prize winning president that has Nobel Peace Prize nominees.
It's the Nobel
threatened.
Prize Committee is at the heart of this. Think about it for a second now.
No, they wrote him a letter. If you didn't see this, they wrote Obama a letter about a month ago. We were just like, you've been bombing people this whole time. Maybe we should rethink everything we just did.
Yeah, there is that.
But, you know, I hate to defend Obama. I don't think. He's just there. He's playing a part.
That's exactly right. He has the whole entire presidency, his 8 years there, has been pretty much, and it was pretty much the same thing as Bush, but a lot less sinister, because Bush had the dark warlord Cheney, the evil emperor to George Bush's Darth Vader, of course.
Right. And, you know,
Obama's at least been cool about it a lot, not let people know exactly where the puppet master's hand is slit, you know.
Right. I mean, it is kind of all over the place.
He's regurgitated what he's supposed to for his party. He's come together, bridged together. He's pulled apart when he's supposed to. He's pretty much, he's your Dick Clark, man. I mean, really, seriously.
The Ed McMahon.
He is Ed McMahon. You can put him in any role, Star Search, Tonight Show, the Sweepstakes guy, whatever. Ed McMahon can do that for you. Yeah, Barack Obama is Ed McMahon. That's awesome.
Hey, yo!
Yeah.
Well, you know what? Here's the deal. They're all cowards. And not all of them. Because we have Justin Amash. I don't agree with politicians. I really respect that man. I think he's trying to do the right thing. I wish there were more people like him. Thomas Massey in Kentucky. I wish there were more people trying to do what he's doing. All right, ladies and gentlemen. That's it for our show this evening. I've got my co-host here,
David Young.
He would have said more, but he's still in shock over the star ID card.
Yeah, I can't believe it.
We've also got, we're joined by Mr. Shannon Madden and also Eric P. Eric P.
Michael Powell,
thank you so much for John Bonds calling in to the show tonight.
Please join us again. We have our next show tomorrow. I'ma let them know, no, through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo.